So Alice joins us for a bit of a conversation today about the Lavender Rose project, which is something that you set up in 2020, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So tell us how you aim to set this up.
So basically, I've struggled with mental health since I was a teenager. And at the time when I set this charity up, I was living with my best friend at the time, and we were both struggling. She received a package from a mental health nonprofit, kind of similar to what we do. And it had really helpful resources. It had just loads of really cute stuff that picked her mood up instantly. And I wanted to pass that joy on to even more people and kind of help people help themselves.
So that was in 2020. Let's rewind the clock a little bit to 2014, what you were going through.
Yeah. So I was experiencing a lot of symptoms of anxiety and depression. So I would get quite severe panic attacks like a few times a week. I was experiencing really low thoughts about myself and just the world. I was just not feeling very optimistic about anything at all. There was a lot of pressure from school to get really good grades and just be the best at everything. And I was a dancer as well, so there was added perfectionism to the mix. And yeah, it all just kind of felt a bit too much at the time. And I coped by self-harming and using just really unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Why do you think you kind of got to this position?
It was a combination of just not knowing how to deal with scary thoughts. Like, I thought that they were true just all the time. I was convinced that what I was thinking was how it actually was, but no one had told me that that's not necessarily the case and that there is an alternative way of kind of going about everything. And just, yeah, again, like I said, the pressure of school just all piled on top.
Is this when you joined secondary school?
It was just a bit after, so...
Do you think some of the pressures of school were there as well into the mix?
Definitely, yeah. So I think I see primary schoolers, it was a very fun time. It was mostly just playing outside, kind of, there wasn't as much pressure to perform really well. And then it got to secondary school and it was just all very much like piled on at once of like, you have to do amazing in your GCSEs or you won't get anywhere in life. And it was just a lot for a child to deal with, I think.
It's a lot of change, isn't it, from primary school to secondary school?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And obviously this is what brought it on for you.
That's definitely, yeah, where the trigger was for all of it.
So what were the first symptoms that you kind of discovered?
I think it was all very scary at the time, but it was just, I think the panic attacks were the thing that scared me the most because it really feels like you're just completely not in control of your body anymore. So I'd get like a really fast heartbeat. I'd get really sweaty and just feel you get the fight or flight response, which is quite common for anxiety. And I would normally just want to flight. So I just want to run away from it all and not deal with it in the moment, I think.
Now, you've also said to me in the past that some of your friends were kind of going through the similar symptoms.
Yeah, definitely. So I think most of my friends at the time were struggling in some way, whether they had come from an abusive household, which obviously is very different to what I've been through. And I can't imagine how the effects of that would continue on for years and years. So yeah, there were a few friends I had in that situation, and then other friends in similar situations to me, where it was just the anxiety and depression had come on because of pressures from school and parents and stuff like that.
How did you know that they were kind of going through this?
So there was a few friends that they would self-harm as a way of sort of signposting that they need help. And so you'd see that and obviously want to help them as much as I could.
What were your first initial thoughts when you saw that?
It was just horrific, to be honest, to see that someone so close to me had felt a similar way that I had almost, because obviously I had experienced that. So I knew how difficult those emotions were. And it just broke my heart to know that other people were going through that as well. As, yeah, I'm sure you can imagine it's not the most...
Not the nicest thing to discover, is it?
No,
really?
It's not at all. But I think at least I then knew that I needed to do something.
Did it put you at ease knowing that other people were going through this as well?
Kind of, yeah. I think it was... There was a moment where I was like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Like, it's not just my brain that's doing this. So it does bring a bit of comfort. But at the same time, there is that discomfort of like, I don't want any of my friends to feel the way that I did, I guess.
Were you talking to them about this?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was a very difficult conversation because obviously we were children and so we don't have the sort of professional view of mental illnesses. We didn't know what was going on, but it was nice to know that, yeah, we weren't alone in it and it is a common experience, but it shouldn't be.
Did you feel like there was no one there to help you?
Yeah, we very much didn't trust the adults in our life, not because they'd done anything wrong, but just because we didn't know if they would be able to relate to what we were going through. So it was quite a scary thing to be able to reach out. And then you never know what their response is going to be. You never know if they're going to actually give you the support you need or if they're going to mock you for it. Because I've had that experience before where I've opened up to an adult about how I was feeling and then I got mocked for it. And so that put me off reaching out for help. But thankfully, eventually I did, and it was definitely worth it.
So you remember that time that you did tell your parents? What were they like?
They were just shocked. And I think they took it as a personal failure, as like, sort of, they've not done enough to make me happy, but it's not necessarily the case. Like, my parents are great. They've done so much for me. And just because I was struggling mentally, it doesn't mean that any of that's taken away at all. But yeah, they sort of thought that they had failed as parents, but I don't see it that way at all.
Because you were possibly one of the lucky ones, because some of your friends not had that love and support from your parents.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I was really lucky that I had supportive parents for the most part. But yeah, I think it's even harder when your parents don't believe what you're saying, that I can't imagine how difficult that would be to get that support as well. Yeah.
And you also mentioned a friend who's sadly no longer with us.
Yeah.
So tell me about your friend.
So my friend Indy, she had dissociative identity disorder, which, if you don't know, is basically where you go through repeated trauma as a child and your brain can't kind of cope with it all. So it splits off into what are known as alters, which are kind of alternate states of identity. It was previously called split personality disorder, but that's no longer used. And so she had a really big struggle with that because she had a really difficult upbringing, a really difficult childhood, and it kind of manifested a lot later on in her life. Yeah, she was in psychiatric care and I was her carer for a bit. And then, yeah, unfortunately, I think last year she took her own life, which was really difficult to deal with, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, that's really what's spurring me on to continue fighting for change in the mental health community and all that.
So obviously we've come through lockdown. Hopefully we're out of the woods now for everything.
Fingers crossed.
How was the time?
It was tough. It was very tough because I was initially at university when it happened, when sort of the big announcement happened in March 2020. And it actually led me to dropping out of university because I was doing a music course and you can't really actually rehearse when obviously you can't meet up with people. And so that took a big toll on just my life in general. Like, it completely changed the path of everything, as I'm sure it did for many people. Yeah, it was a very lonely time because I wasn't at university anymore, so I wasn't communicating with as many people. I didn't really have as much of a support network as I did when I was at university.
Were you chatting to your friends during that time?
Yeah, so I would call and chat with them a bit, but it was really difficult not having that in-person connection with them. Really changed everything.
Obviously, because was that music a love of yours? Was that helping you through everything, do you think?
It was a little bit, but I did get quite a big creative block from it because I work best when I'm bouncing off other people's ideas. And so suddenly not having that anymore, it was a big difference.
I can imagine. So obviously you got through that, which is great.
Yeah.
So the Lavender Rose Project is your project?
It is, yes.
So you're doing it mainly in memory of your friend who's sadly no longer with us?
Yeah. So I definitely want to continue her legacy because she was a very positive force in the mental health community. So I want to, keep pushing that forward.
So tell us what the Lavender Rose Project is actually trying to achieve.
So at the minute, we're trying to educate the general public about mental health issues, mental illnesses and coping mechanisms, as well as we provide letters and care packages to anyone in the UK who's struggling with their mental health.
Okay, so is it just for youngsters or is it for adults as well?
It's anyone who's struggling at all.
Okay, and what do we actually get in the pack then?
So I've got a few options for packages. So I've got a free letter, which has some worksheets. It has distractions like Sudokus and word searches. It's got helplines for further resources. So if you need to reach out to someone for support and someone to actually talk you through problems, it's got those as well. And a little handwritten postcard from me as well. And then we've got a £2 self-harm prevention kit, which has a whole bunch of suggestions for how to sort of divert your urges to self-harm. And then we've got a £3 crisis kit, which has a sort of worksheet for working through when you're actually in a crisis, and sort of it gives you a template for things that you know will help you. And then also a crisis card that you can give to someone if you're unable to speak, and you can give it to someone. It will have like all your details on it and like what you're struggling with and what a person could do to help you when you're in a crisis. And then we've got a £5 package, which has everything a letter has in it, as well as fidget toys, tea bags, hot chocolates, things like that, just cute little stuff. And then we've got a £12 fully customizable package where you can choose exactly what goes into a package. And that has a few more options for things like jewellery and soft toys for comfort. And then again, all the fidget toys and self-soothing things as well. Yeah.
So tell me about some of these worksheets then. What are they aiming to achieve?
So we've got two at the minute. I am designing some more as well. But we've got the self-love worksheet, which is aiming to sort of just remind you of what you are grateful for and what you love about yourself and that kind of thing. And then we've got a gratitude worksheet, which is all about gratitude and what you're grateful for.
So if anyone is kind of going through what you kind of went through,
yeah,
what do they need to do?
Reach out, just talk about it to anyone you trust, and if you feel comfortable, mental health professionals or your GP, because the first step in recovery is just acknowledging that you need that support. And that's a really strong thing to do as well. Like, it doesn't make you weak that you need someone else to, you know, step in and intervene. It actually makes you really, really strong for doing that, I think.
So as a friend, say I have a friend who possibly I think may be suffering with this, for instance, what do I need to do as a friend?
I think just let them know that you're there, that they have you to talk to, and yeah, just that you care about them. You don't necessarily need to go completely out of your way to, you know, completely fix them. But just knowing that there's someone there is really, really helpful when you're feeling really low and you feel like nobody cares. Just having that reassurance, I think, is, yeah, really nice.
And what do you hope to achieve with your project?
So I think in the very, very long run, my like long-term dream is to open up like a sort of community center where people can actually come and visit and have like a sensory room to calm down and like counselors on hand. But I think that's a bit, yeah, further down the line. But in the near future, we definitely want to do more within communities. So workplaces, schools, maybe delivering talks about helping you help yourself and techniques you can use to better your mental health as well.
So if anyone wants to find out more information about the Lavender Rose Project, tell us.
So they should visit our website, which is lavenderrosecharity.com, or find us on social media at the Lavender Rose Project.
Alice, thank you very much indeed for opening up and telling us about your project.
Thank you so much for having me.